welcome to 20 Minutes and Two Beers In. I'm JD.
Hey, everybody. This is Bobby.
Episode 153, season 3, episode 49. We have a very Christmas episode, don't we?
We do, because I'm putting you under the gun this week.
I don't know how I feel. I don't know.
It's Christmas song trivia this week, JD, and I'm gonna make a bet here. Right now, I'm putting it right out the gate. I don't think you're going to get a single question right.
Well, I don't know how obscure you're getting with these, too. I mean, I've been listening to a lot of Christmas lately. I've been listening to Sinatra. Today was a Sinatra Christmas day.
That's a solid day.
Pentatonix.
Get a little swing in your step.
Oh, exactly. Pentatonix, their Christmas album, Climbing Up the Charts, is really good. Been listening to that. Just throwing out some old school, very special Christmas.
Okay.
So I feel like I've been listening to Christmas, getting in the spirit, listening to Christmas songs, but I have a really strong feeling that you're going as obscure as humanly possible.
And I'm not going to go that obscure, JD. I'm just going a little more. These are all mainstream songs. Every single one of them is a song that you've heard. But the trick is I'm going deeper in the songs than most people have ever gone.
Okay.
So if you've listened to Christmas music today, you did good. I told you to bone up on it, JD. Did you bone up?
No, I feel like I did. I feel like I did, but evidently, I think I'm nervous. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm nervous.
Okay.
We're going to talk topless. We started that last
topless,
week.
Topless? What?
Top what?
I have a shirt on.
Thank the Lord. we've got some top lists.
Yes.
That we want to go over. Plus some music. You've got a unique selection this week. I stumbled across mine very quickly, and I'm very, very happy with my selection. Of course, we have our six pack, Last Call One Step Away, which is always great. Bobby, one of the biggest questions we have each and every week, 153 weeks, what are you drinking?
Right now, I'm drinking, part of the season is cider and whiskey. It's that time of year for me. Aside from the Shiner Cheer, all the Christmas ales out there, I have some apple cider that I mixed with some George Dickel Original Tennessee Whiskey. It's number 12 brand. It's delicious, JD.
Nice, nice.
What about yourself?
I'm finishing off a case. Well, that didn't sound right.
You sound really good for finishing off a case, by the way.
Shiner, the holiday cheer. I mean, we've been drinking it all season long. It is one of our favorites. I'm excited eventually to switch to something else. But you've got me intrigued on the cider.
Yeah.
Now, bourbon or whiskey, which is better with the cider?
Either way, you're okay. As long as you warm it up. You'll be good. Now, I wouldn't say an Irish whiskey. That's not great with it, but a bourbon's really strong with it. Or if you have another whiskey, so long as it's not an Irish whiskey. I think Irish whiskey is a little too distinct for it. You want the cider to have a little bit more flavor than your whiskey. You don't want your whiskey to completely take it over. You just want a nice little burn or a little taste of it in your cider. Warm it up, add as much as you like, JD, and then enjoy. It warms up the pipes, too. So I got,
You're stretching the golden pipes.
That's right. That's right.
All right. When we come back, we are having our top list. Top list, Bobby.
I'm not taking my top off for this segment. I know.
Take what you want from me. I'm not afraid to turn around to see you by my side.
And we're back, JD. Last week we covered our top music and some TV and movies. This week we're going into the sports world. We're going to talk team of the year, athlete, one of the best games that we saw this year, the dud of the year, our athletes that underperformed, and also worst team. Let's start there, JD, with worst team or underperforming team. Who do you got?
It was tough. Like last week, I'm coming with two. Are you coming with one again?
For most of these, I'm just coming with one.
Okay. I am... My second worst is the Chicago White Sox.
Ooh.
Yeah. They only had 63 wins this season, 85 last year. They were second worst in the AL. They were worse than the Cubs this year, so they were my second worst team of the year. Right now, it's got to go to Houston. The Texans, 2-12 right now. Last year, 12-4, and such a powerhouse. And people had them picked again this year to be so tough.
Yeah.
And they've really, really crapped the bed hard.
Yeah, I mean, if I would have a second team, JD, I think it would be the Houston Texans. I cannot believe how bad they've done this year. They had quarterback problems when you thought Matt Schaub was the man there. Gary Kubiak gets fired midseason. You've had injuries to Arian Foster. You have guys that are getting old and not doing what they used to do, like Andre Johnson. But my worst team of the year is the Anaheim Angels, or Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, or however Disney wants to title that team. Now, they weren't the worst team in baseball, JD, but they were 78-84. They have the ninth highest payroll in baseball, but their top guys, their top batters, Josh Hamilton, Albert Pujols. Hamilton was the new addition. You thought this team was going to be insane with Hamilton, Pujols. They have Mike Trout. And then they couldn't even make the playoffs. They couldn't even finish higher than third in their division. Just such an underperforming team. Yep. That's why they've got to be my worst, because you got such a great collection of athletes. And it turns out might be just a lot of dead money that you're going to have there for a while, and a bad baseball team.
Yeah, very likely. Very likely. I can't argue with that. That they definitely are just a joke right now, really, for that payroll. They're a joke. What do you got next?
Dud of the year. That means an athlete who
underperformed
or whatever. And here's number two. I have two on this one, JD.
I only have one.
All right. We're switching things up. Yes. My two is Raheem Moore of the Denver Broncos.
You're calling out one of
my own. I know. I'm calling out one of my own. He was not the reason why they lost the Ravens, but he was a big reason why the Ravens got back in that ball game by mistiming and misplaying a ball. Really ruined what was a great season going on that far, but set in motion the Ravens season for sure. And my dud of the year, Derrick Rose.
Really?
He chose not to come back last year. Well, he chose not to come back last year.
But he wasn't there.
When he was healthy. He was healthy by the end of the season. He was tearing it up in practices, but he didn't want to come back.
Right.
He took the offseason to keep working at it. Then he comes back and he gets injured just 10 games in. The reason why he's my dud of the year, JD, is because he could have been with the Bulls last year. He purposely chose not to be with the team. Then when he comes back, he quickly gets injured. It's not all his fault. But still, for something that everybody, an entire city, was looking forward to, just a letdown.
I'd give him letdown of the year if we had letdown of the year, but dud of the year, you can't come back until you're fully confident.
Mm-hmm.
And he clearly wasn't fully confident. So I don't know. Dud of the year is Eli Manning.
Mm.
I mean,
oof.
25 interceptions on the year, only 16 touchdowns, 6 fumbles. I mean, the Giants have gone as Eli has gone.
And yeah.
Was it 5 picks yesterday? I don't know what it was. It was horrible this week. Eli Manning is my dud of the year.
Game of the year, JD. What do you got?
I hate that I have to choose this. It pains me deeply to my soul that I have to choose an SEC football matchup. But that Alabama-Auburn game was as billed. And that was the most thrilling finish you'll see in a college pro, any game you can imagine.
Yeah.
Unbelievable finish. Unbelievable. And the ramifications of that miscue at the end of that game by Alabama. You know, it not only knocked them out of number one in the country, it knocked them out of the SEC championship and even a chance to play for a national championship. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable game.
That was my number one. But JD, my number two on here, I still remember watching this and angry about this game. Game six. Yeah. Game six, Heat Spurs. what a battle. You thought for sure the Spurs had won the title. They defeated the favorite Heat, but Ray Allen made an insane three-pointer to force overtime, and then they win by three in overtime. That was a great series, and wow, what a phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal game that was. But Alabama-Auburn, I don't think I've ever seen a college football game that exciting.
No, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. That was a great basketball game. Ray Allen, you know, I like the Celtics.
Yeah.
So I've naturally liked Ray Allen for a number of years. So yeah, that was a game. That was a wild game.
Now, athlete of the year, JD. Before we get team of the year's last, that's how I want to finish. Who do you got for your athlete of the year?
This guy finished third in the Heisman Trophy. And that's Jordan Lynch of NIU. The highest finish for a non qualifier in the BCS era for the Heisman Trophy. He has the most rushing in the game twice this year. He set the record against Eastern, and then earlier in the season with 316. Then broke it against Western Michigan with 321 in a game against Eastern Michigan. Now you're like, okay, these are mid-majors. But still, these numbers are ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Against Eastern Michigan, he threw for rushed for four touchdowns, threw for one, caught another one, 339 total yards. What's amazing, he's leading the nation in rushing for a quarterback. 1,881 yards, 22 touchdowns. Last year, 1,815. This is the most rushing yards by a quarterback ever. And you're like, okay, so he's rushing a lot. Well, the last two seasons combined, he's thrown for almost 6,000 yards. This kid's the real deal. He's only 6 foot tall, and I'm getting excited about a local kid at Northern. But holy crap, what he's done is pretty amazing, let alone leading his team back-to-back undefeated regular seasons.
Yeah.
That's...
Well, you don't count... Are you not counting the championship game? Does that not count in there?
That's not a regular season game.
Okay. Well, my athlete of the year is also the Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year, Peyton Manning. Coming back from injury on this podcast, JD... On this podcast,
I knew you were coming. I knew you were going to bring this to me. I knew there's going to be one point in time this season you're going to come back and shove my nose in this like a dog and something he did wrong.
Well, you did say he would never play. He would never play a game of football ever again. On this podcast, and not only has he played football, he's played it to an incredible level. He would have been your MVP of the NFL last year were it not for Adrian Peterson's great year. This year, he is the shoe-in for MVP of the football season. He's on pace to break the single-season passing yards and passing touchdowns records. He's already thrown for more yards this year than at any other point in his career. Last year, his yardage was the second highest total that he'd ever thrown for in his career, and his completion percentage was second highest. He's just put up insane numbers when you thought he would never play football again. At 36 and 37, he's playing some of the best football of his career.
You have to admit, I wasn't alone in that thought that he would never play again.
You're absolutely right. A lot of people...
The injury and four neck surgeries in 18 months... He shouldn't be playing. He's a freak of nature. Not as much of a freak as AP is, but he's a freak of nature and able to play such an injury prone position at such a high level.
Yeah,
I mean it's great. And plus he's a good guy. He's a good guy. So
yeah.
So we're going team of the year. I have two of these.
Okay.
Number two and number one.
Okay. I have one team.
I've gone back and forth. Number two for me, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Only two wins last season.
Mm-hmm.
Turning that around, they're, 11 and 3?
Mm-hmm.
Now, absolutely amazing. They were last in the AFC West in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And then just the two wins last year. Right there, the stingiest defense in the AFC. Third best defense in the NFL. This turnaround Andy Reid has done with a lot of the same players
that
they had before.
Sure.
Absolutely astounding. That's why they get the number two for me. Number one has to go to the Pittsburgh Pirates. 20 straight losing seasons.
Oh, okay.
94 wins this past year, making the playoffs and making a charge in the playoffs. If you look in 2012, 79 wins. 2011, 72. 2010, 57 wins. To turn a franchise around that quickly, and they're built for a while. Right? They're going to be strong for a while. 20 straight losing seasons, to turn it around and get a football town that excited about baseball. Absolutely sounding. They're my team of the year.
How quickly was that turnaround, JD? Again, what was it, 20 some years that they hadn't made the playoffs?
20 losing.
That's not a very quick turnaround.
No, it's quick. Like, it was bad, 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 boom, good. Follow?
Yeah.
Bad,
20
good.
Years of terrible to finally put it together.
Just overnight.
That was not overnight. They did a great job building that team, building up the minors and, homegrown talent.
Well, and if you look over the last five seasons, they had gotten a lot of criticism because they'd get a good player mm-hmm. and then they'd trade him. Well, look, turns out, they were pretty smart for trading him and getting youth and getting more youth and getting more youth. And that's where they are today. So they're my number one team. Who do you got?
Miami Heat.
I didn't want to go there.
I didn't want to either, but I will go there because they do truly deserve it. They won 66 games this past year. They won a great series over the Spurs in seven games. One of the most entertaining series I've seen in a while, especially because I love to cheer against the Heat.
Yeah.
And the Spurs did so well. It's a team with at least three Hall of Famers on that team, possibly four. They had a great Harlem Shuffle video.
That was actually really good.
Yeah, they repeat as champions.
Yeah.
They did set records. They were the first team in NBA history to win 17 games in a calendar month. So a great team. You got to give respect to them. So they're my team of the year.
I considered them. I really did. I considered Alabama, too. Because
yeah.
if you're going, yeah. the beginning of the year till now. But I could see that. Pirates are more deserving, but I can see that.
I get that. All right, JD, I got some music for us this week. This is Brendan Benson. You might know him. He's done a number of solo projects, but he was also in the Raconteurs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He's got a new album called You Were Right, and this is the song It's Your Choice.
I forgot something off the top of the show. I forgot the beer devotional. And we have one of these every week. This one for this week. Thirsty Dog Brewing Company. It's a Cerberus?
Cerberus?
C-E-R-B-E-R-U-S. Cerberus. The quote is from the famous guy named Anonymous, and it is, beer drinking don't do half the harm of love making. I know, right? And they go into details of this Cerberus beer from Thirsty Dog Brewing Company, which it looks delicious, but you can taste it for yourself. But the beer food fact. In ancient Babylonia, the father of the bride gave his son-in-law all the honey beer he would drink for a month after the wedding. This is the origin of the word honeymoon.
Interesting.
I just dropped a truth bomb on your head.
Boom. All over this place.
All over the joint. So, Bobby, I'm nervous about this game show.
You should be, because again, like I said, I'm predicting you get zero correct. Now, JD, I want to preface this. This is deep knowledge Christmas song trivia. You've got to dive in here. You can't just know the Christmas song. You have to understand where it's coming from, where these people's hearts were.
Country of
origin.
You've
got to know backstories.
Really?
It's deep, buddy.
I don't know about that.
Okay. Well, are you ready?
I'm ready. Bring it.
There's going to be eight questions. And
eight
like
questions.
I said, I don't think you're going to get a single one of these right.
Did you make it so hard our listeners aren't going to get them either?
I think our listeners could get them.
Oh,
I'm predicting you don't get them.
Oh, you're just slapping my abilities.
Here we go. The song Last Christmas. You familiar with it? Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. The very next day, you gave it away.
Vaguely, yes.
Okay. I think Wham is who did that one. Anyways.
I know you're a bigger Wham fan than me.
The song goes, the very next day you gave it away. Who was it that the character in the song gave it to?
Last Christmas you gave it away. Gave it away. Da, 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 da. You gave it to Steve. Steve.
French Stewart is the correct answer. French Stewart.
What?
Yeah, from Third Rock from the Sun. Yeah,
no.
It was given in a Secret Santa the very next day. Here it is. Grandma got ran over by a reindeer. You brought this song up, so I wanted to do some trivia for this. JD, what happened to the reindeer in Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer?
Grandma got ran over by your reindeer. Coming home from our house Christmas Eve. They say there's no such thing as Santa, but ask me, Grandma, we believe. Ding, 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 ding.
Come on, 5 seconds.
Okay, I would say the reindeer died.
Okay, wow, that's a good guess. This was actually very controversial because it did affect the life insurance payout for Grandpa. Grandpa married the reindeer, JD. But the payout was delayed on the life insurance. All right, here we go. Now, this is a little, this is not about, you don't need to know the song to know this one.
Okay.
Or I guess you don't need to know the words of the song to know this one. Name the only two individuals who actually like the song Jingle Bells when performed by Barbra Streisand.
That's easy. The only two people who like the song Jingle Bells performed by Barbra Streisand is Barbra Streisand.
Okay.
And Harvey Fierstein.
Ooh. Wow, this is a trick question, and I'm sorry for playing this one on you. That's actually, the names are actually classified, JD, because the U.S. government uses that song as a screener for terrorists. So those people are actually in Guantanamo.
So we don't really have their names. All right.
In the song Baby It's Cold Outside, JD, how did
Baby
the two people meet?
Cold outside.
How did the two people know each other?
I really can't stay, baby, it's cold outside.
That was a very good rendition.
How did they meet?
Yep.
I think they met at a hotel bar.
Ooh, tricky. Family reunion. They're second cousins, JD. Second cousins.
That was held.
It's a little controversial song than you'd think.
It was held at a hotel bar.
A hotel bar. All right, number five, Frosty the Snowman. That song, great song. How long did it take him to melt?
8 days.
47 hours is what we're looking for. 47 hours. Now, JD, we got three more. You're still, you've gotten none right.
I don't know. The Barbra Streisand, Harvey Fierstein, I think I was close.
White Christmas, great song. Really made famous by Bing Crosby. Also famous for that role in the movie White Christmas. I want to know who was first considered for the role that Bing Crosby got.
Frank Sinatra.
Seth Rogen. Yeah. Can't believe it, can you?
I think you may be stretching.
I am not.
The answers.
Why would I be stretching that one?
Because he wasn't born yet.
And there you go. They didn't think he could sing the parts, JD, so that's why he didn't get it. Dr. Bing Crosby.
So it was Frank Sinatra, wasn't it?
It was Seth Rogen. Here we go.
Oh, my God. Now you're making up the answers.
The integrity of your game show is
going down.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, okay? Last two questions are going to come from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So far, you've gotten zero right.
Can I ask a quick question? Yes. Point of clarification. Is this the Rudolph that we all know or the one that you're going to be making up on the spot?
This is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer that we all know.
Okay.
One is about the song. One is about the hit. You'll see. All right, here we go. Rudolph, as it starts off, is the most famous reindeer of all. Who is the second most famous reindeer of all?
Donner.
Close. This is, I almost would give you half a point on this one. Donner's his dad. Donner, however, is not second most famous. Mitzi is. Mitzi is Rudolph's mother's name. And Mitzi is most famous for Posing in Maxim 2004. Come on. That's why she made second. She could not surpass Rudolph, but she got close. Here we go. This is your last chance. No,
before this last one, I do have to throw out there, if you watch Rudolph now, it is the most sexist, racist, pedophilic thing that I just made up that word.
Two episodes ago, you said the exact same thing about Rudolph.
Yeah, but
you've had your Rudolph tirade.
No, but all of a sudden you throw her in there, who is not allowed to even leave the house because it's man's work.
Yeah. Big push for women's rights when she posed in Maxim.
I bet so.
All right, last question.
Stag film?
All right, here it is. Why did the other reindeer laugh and call Rudolph names?
Because the real reason.
I'm asking. Come on, you should. I hope you know this one.
The real reason is because his nose shone so bright.
Mm-hmm.
They would laugh and call him names.
Okay.
That's the song that we all know.
Is that the answer you want to go with?
In Bobby Bizarro world.
No. We have to have a clear answer from you. Is that what you want to go with, or do you want to go with something else?
Why did they laugh and call him names?
Why did the reindeer laugh and call him names?
All right. Final answer, because he's fat.
Oh, I predicted it, JD, and I'm right. You didn't get a single one of these right. The real reason, he had a very shiny nose.
Oh, come on!
Sorry, I even gave you the chance to take that as your answer, and you didn't. I'm sorry. You got 0 for 8 in Christmas song trivia.
Wow, that is absolutely pathetic. this is actually going to the league office for review.
I think aside from this last...
is going to come in and look at this.
I think this is pretty clear cut, JD. This is pretty solid.
On that note, I'm going to play some music, Bobby.
Yeah. What are you going to play?
Playing Rain Wolf. They were at Lollapalooza this year. They have a new single out called In the Dark. Give it a listen. Six pack and I win.
You did. Nice job. You won. You eked it out by a game this week. You're now one game behind me in the overall standings. But you did win, so you get to end this week.
Okay.
You get to end the questions. I get to start the questions, but we got to start it with music, JD.
We start that. Now,
JD, I want you to tell our listeners, what is your perfect gift for this holiday season?
Perfect gift to give or receive?
One or the other. Give it, you know, whatever you think is the best thing that you would want to get or that you think would be the best gift to give somebody else. Either way.
Oh, I'd like a quarterback. you know, I'm really jonesing this season for a new poker table. A poker table.
Yeah.
We play poker. We have a group of guys. We get to get together and play poker. I got the chips. I got some chips that weigh 1,000 pounds.
Yeah, they're pretty. You brought that in the other day when I was in the studio, and you threw it on my lap, and that was that crushed my legs.
So I'm excited for that. Honestly, a great beer is something that is always good to give. Either a great beer or some of the premium spirits from Mississippi River Distilling Company. Boom. That's what I do.
Beautiful.
Bobby, your worst Christmas drink. You introduced me 3 seasons ago to eggnog, and it was delicious. I'd never had it before. It was delicious. What is your worst Christmas drink?
Worst Christmas drink.
You know, what's popular right now a lot, I've heard it from some people, is rum chata.
Yeah.
People are really into that.
Yeah. That's the, you know, I wouldn't be ashamed of rum chata. I've heard good things about it. I haven't tried it yet, but the people that have described it to me, it sounds pretty good. I would say the drink that I would turn away this time of year, a lot of people go warm drinks. You go to a bar, trying to think of the bars in Chicago. Some of the bars like to do their themed drinks where they'll warm something up for you. Like they'll do an Irish coffee or they'll do a peppermint schnapps in hot cocoa. That's not bad. I would say I don't want to drink something with like Hot Damn or that Red Hots.
Okay.
People do cider with that. With the real strong cinnamon flavor, JD, steer me away from that one. I've never been a fan of the Hot Damn or anything like that. If you're gonna give me some cider, whiskey it up for me.
All right.
I'm not gonna do a cinnamon drink.
Okay.
All right, JD. We've had some great music. Last week we talked about some of the good stuff that we heard in 2013. I want an album that you want released in 2014. An artist that hasn't released an album, didn't release one in 2013. Who do you want to see release one in 2014?
Easy. Answer is extremely easy. Yes, for the past 11 years, I'd said Boston, and I take that back now. But no, I want Tool. There's been talks for a long time that Tool has a new album coming out. Tool has a new album coming out. Then A Perfect Circle has a best of album that comes out. I think that fell along the lines of the best albums or the best of or greatest hits that should not happen that you and I have talked about in previous episodes. But Tool, I mean, Maynard is amazing. He's a genius. I need a new Tool album. Bobby, what is your favorite 1980s TV show? What's great about this time of year is you get a lot of downtime because football is waning.
Yeah.
There may not be great basketball matchups yet. So you're flipping around TV, and then all of a sudden you're like, boom, there it is. Am I watching? What am I watching? Am I watching
early Cosby Show is what you're watching.
Is that it?
The Cosby Show, anytime that comes on, it's kind of like Shawshank Redemption for me. If it's on TV and I just happen across it, I've got to sit there and watch it. I've got to finish out the episode. And I've seen most, if not all, the Cosby Show episodes, but everyone is good. Right. JD, I want to know, what's the worst gift you ever gave somebody at Christmas?
Oh, that is so easy. I think I talked about this in season one. You know, when you're young, you give like gifts and you think you're being like to your girlfriend or whatever, and you think you're like being sweet and, you know, romantic, but you're a kid, you don't know what the hell you're doing. Then you get older and let's say you get married, Bobby, and you know your spouse really well, and then you get her a present that just falls flat on its face. And that's what I did when I bought my wife an iPad. You'd think an iPad, and this is iPad 1. When the iPad 1 first came out, it was not the response I wanted. It was just kind of a blank stare. There might have been tears. I don't know if it was her or me. It was bad, and she thought it was for me. To this day, I've probably touched that iPad a dozen times. At the most,
it was, you can't touch it, right? Now it's just to prove a point. Well, you can't touch it.
Well, not even that. It's just I didn't want it. I wanted it for her because I thought it was a wonderful thing. It was 3 months later that she opened it.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
3 months.
And ouch. Yeah, but you know what? I should have known better. I really should have known better. She's not into the tech. She's not a techie like I am.
Yeah.
And I could have done so much better. I should have got her a spa. I should have, you know, bought her clothes, a purse or something. I crapped the bed. My second crap the bed reference today, by the way. I did horribly. Bobby.
Yes.
Right now, it's interesting because you're getting better and better NFL matchups, because more at stake. Then you got the bowl season coming on.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about best color men on the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, college football, pro football. Who's the best play-by-play right now?
You know, JD, we listen to, because of our market, we get a lot of Bears games.
We do get Bears games, yeah.
Which means, it also means we get Brian Billick doing a lot of color.
Love Brian Billick.
And he does a great job on the color. But you're asking me play-by-play, and his guy is Tom Brenneman. And I enjoy Tom Brenneman. I've always enjoyed him. I like him calling baseball games. But I think he does a very good job calling football games as well, setting up Brian Billick perfectly, which is what a good play-by-play man does. So that would be who I've enjoyed listening to the most this year, JD.
It's hard to argue. He is extremely good. And I think as a team, they're great. They're great. And I'd still love to see Brian Billick coach again, but I do think he's going to end up in the league office. So.
That wouldn't be a bad gig for him.
No. So that brings us close to the station. When we come back, last call, one stop away.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
Time for last call, one stop away. Bobby, mine happens in London.
All right.
And it is now proven that James Bond is an alcoholic and has alcohol-induced tremors.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. British researchers say fictional super spy James Bond's preference for shaken martinis may be due to alcohol-induced tremors. Now, this one doctor published in the British Medical Journal, and they studied the alcohol consumption in Ian Fleming's novels and determined that James Bond consumes 4 times the amount of alcohol recommended by medical experts for an adult male. 4 times!
Wow.
He said that Bond's alcohol intake could lead to chronic conditions that involve liver disease, cirrhosis, sexual impotence, alcohol-induced tremor, and early death. The quote is, the level of functioning as displayed in the books is inconsistent with the physical, mental, and indeed sexual functioning expected from someone drinking this much alcohol. We advise an immediate referral for further assessment and treatment, a reduction in alcohol consumption for James Bond to safe levels, and suspect that the famous catchphrase, shaken, not stirred, could be because of alcohol-induced tremor affecting his hands. So they, according to them, James Bond, alcoholic.
Wow, the next movie is going to be very depressing. It's going to take a turn that we are not prepared for, apparently.
Exactly, and it's going to be played by Andy Garcia with Meg Ryan. It's not going to be well.
Is it going to be like Dudley Moore? Are they going to resurrect him and bring him back?
Wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're like, no, he's too old. Russell Brand. We're going Russell Brand.
Hey, that could work. Well, mine also comes from England, from the Literary Review, JD. The City of Divai has won an award.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, congratulations, City of Divai.
It is now an award-winning novel. I know you were thinking it was a city. Nay, it's a novel by Manil Suri.
I've read it.
Novel. Well, then you are familiar with the sex scenes that are in that book,
which is why
they have won the Bad Sex Prize from the Literary Review. Now, if we were in the same room, JD, I would make you read this with an accent.
Oh, my accents are so good.
They are so terrible. But basically, his sex scene took place in a nuclear-threatened Mumbai, which was a threesome that took place. And this is the part that we can read on the podcast. Surely supernovas explode that instant somewhere in some galaxy. The hut vanishes, and with it the sea and the sands. Only Karan's body, locked with mine, remains. We streak like superheroes past suns and solar systems. We dive through shoals of quarks and atomic nuclei in celebration of our breakthrough fourth star. Statisticians the world over rejoice.
Oh my gosh. People bought this and read it?
And it won the Bad Sex Prize.
I don't know how
people bought it, but it was purchased enough that it was able to get nominated and win an award.
That's horrible.
Yes.
Everything about that did not do a thing for me.
I'm fairly certain you could write a better one, JD, but I'm kind of scared about what would be included in that.
Charles Schultz could write a better scene. Because that was horrible.
Finally give Charles Schultz some credit, and I don't think he would have wanted that.
Well, that brings us close to the station. As we get close to the holiday season, we hope you're listening to this as you're commuting to some festivities for Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you're celebrating.
Sure.
Festivus.
Festivus for the rest of us.
Exactly, exactly. Have a good one. One point in time, this season, you're going to come back and shove my nose in this like a dog and something he did wrong.